Back in Martin Stadium, it is halftime. Vikings lead it 14-0 on a humid night. It has turned out to be a great night for football, especially if you're a Viking fan. And with me, as always, we always open the first home game of the year, the first game period with the superintendent. And with us right now is Mr. Wes Taylor. How you doing, buddy?
Great, Wes. How are you this evening?
I like this pretty snazzy-looking shirt you got there.
This is an old one. You know, after you've been here, this is the beginning of our 12th year. You accumulate some through the years, and this is actually an older one.
Well, it looks pretty snazzy.
Well, thank you.
Sometimes older looks better, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I'm pretty old-fashioned.
And I can say that because I keep getting older every day.
You and me both.
We're into a new school year. You're starting your third year as superintendent. And as we were talking earlier, when you applied for the job and you got hired, what's been maybe some of the things that you didn't anticipate about the job that's come up over the last couple of years?
Wes, as a high school principal for 21 years, you know, I loved it. I really enjoyed the work. One of the biggest differences, the thing I miss the most, is the daily interaction with the students, with the teachers. I still have a fair amount of interaction with parents, not as much as when I was in the building, but primarily work with the principals now and try to affect change through their leadership in each of our 11 schools. And certainly the political end of it was drastically different, stepping out of the principalship into the superintendency. We have 7 board members who obviously are elected in single-member districts, and all are good guys, and I really believe are in it for the right reason. But that aspect, there wasn't a similar experience in the building as a principal that transferred over to the superintendency. So that, I guess, has been the greatest adjustment and the greatest difference. But all, like I said before, 7 great guys. We get along well. We work together well. And I think a big part of that is we try to communicate frequently, you know, and try to keep them abreast of what's going on. But that's the biggest thing. That's probably the greatest difference. This being year 3, certainly much more comfortable than the first couple of years. It was a little bit of a learning curve there. But great people to work with. Another, I would tell you, tremendous positive is I try to schedule at least once a month to be in every one of our schools. And that's a highlight of my day when I do that. I have to spread it over a few days and usually block out about 3 hours and do it over about 3 or 4 day period. But to see what's going on in the classrooms, I tell people that's where the important work's going on. It's not in the central office. Our role is to support those that are teaching. I've often said that we only have 2 kinds of employees in the Lowndes County school system, those who teach and those of us who support those who teach. That's the important work, not in my office.
Well, as being an administrator, like you say, you principal of the year nationwide, I mean, so many accolades was handed, you know, I won't say handed to you, that you earned through the years and stuff like that. What were some of you look back now, and what were some of the greatest achievements as a principal that you were able to achieve?
Well, we had 9 great years at Lowndes High School, and I attribute that success to our staff. I tell people, Wes, it's not hard for me to hire people smarter than I am. I do it all the time, and I was surrounded by a great faculty and staff the 9 years that we were at Lowndes High School, and I've learned that that's true across the system as well. We have wonderful teachers at the elementary, middle, and high school level. We have dedicated and committed principals that want their schools to succeed, want their students to achieve at a high level, and again, that makes it all worthwhile. But some of the greatest memories I have at Lowndes High School occurred on a year-to-year basis, and often over, you could measure it over a 4-year period, when you got to know 9th graders, those timid freshmen coming in, very anxious, having to find their way around, a little bit intimidated, not real concerned that they could be successful, and then 4 years later, to be able to shake their hand and hand them that diploma, and knowing that that was just a stepping stone once they completed high school, that they were on to bigger and better things, and to have them come back. I just saw Lance Gerald down the way here, and first time I've seen him, he's gone to work with us on a first year, and to be able to see some of those guys and young ladies come back after they graduated from Lowndes High and go to work. And that certainly is a source of pride for us as well.
What are some of the things you have in store that you'd like to see accomplished this year?
Well, one of the greatest challenges we face again this year is the financial situation. And I had an opportunity in July to meet with superintendents from 10 southeastern states, and everybody's experiencing the financial woes, if you will. And we've got 33 less employees this year than we had a year ago. Wednesday was day 10, and we had 99 more students this year on day 10 than we had a year ago. So we've got more students, and yet we've got less people to help and to work with them. We gained 232 students from day 1 through today, which is day 12. So that's a challenge in terms of planning and organizing. But we're off to a great start. As I got in every school on the first day of school and had a chance to visit with not only students and teachers, but principals and lunchroom workers and custodians and maintenance workers, we're off to a great start, Wes. And that was kind of our theme at Convocation. It's all about attitude. You know, we can't always control what happens to us, but we can control how we react to it.
Amen.
And we have gone into this year and made a conscious effort that we're going to have a great year this year.
And I know something that's very dear to your heart is that football team down on the field.
Well, you know, it's a big part of the culture in Lowndes County and certainly the Lowndes County school system. I'll tell you that a couple of weeks ago when we were up at Norcross after the first three or four series, I thought, gosh, this looks like when we walked off the field in November in the quarterfinals and got beat. It didn't look a whole lot different. But thankfully, got down 14-0, and the coaches made some adjustments. The kids kept playing hard. They never quit. They never gave up. And as Coach McPherson and I was able to talk in the following week, saw a lot of promise out there. Was very encouraged by what we saw, that our kids just continued to battle and were able to prevail in the end, although it was only three quarters. But it is. I think there's a lot of potential on the field.
Tell how did it come about to have a doubleheader like we're going to have next weekend?
Sure. That's something that we've talked about on and off now for, gosh, probably 5 or 6 years. And each year, is the closer it would get, you know, we're on a two-year scheduling cycle and reclassification. We tried to put it together, and it finally just all came to fruition this past year during a scheduling cycle. And although these are only one-year contracts, we feel confident that if it goes well, we'll be able to pick somebody up if Bradenton and Ware's committed for 2 years. But Plant, if they don't want to come back after next year, we're confident that we can pick up two more schools. And we really think it's going to be something to behold. Four quality opponents, two games on one night, kickoff at 6 and pretty close to 9 next Friday night. We really hope it's the start of something that we can perpetuate it and becomes an annual event, the South Georgia Classic.
Well, you see a lot of schools doing this around the state this time of year, the first couple of weeks, playing that doubleheader, and of course with the Corky Kell Classic and stuff like that, and it's just all over the state. But to be able to bring in teams like Manatee and Ware, which right now was leading Brooks County 31-0 in the third quarter, and a team that's a powerhouse in 5A, and of course Plant coming up here, it just says, I think it speaks volumes for our program that we can schedule teams like that.
I think you're right, Wes, and going on the road last week to scrimmage Norcross, I think that certainly helps you get better the better competition you play. But again, four quality opponents. We think it's going to be a great night for folks that not only Lowndes fans and the fans of those three other schools that are coming, but if you're a high school football fan, what an opportunity to come in here and see two great games. And again, we just think it's the start of something that we hope to continue year after year.
Well, we look forward to seeing you later on in the season like we always do.
I do as well. You know, I'll be here every Friday night, good Lord willing. So let me know. I'll be glad to do it.
And I'll be here every Friday night, the good Lord willing also.
It's easy for me to brag on the Lowndes County School System. Great people, great community support, and we're glad to be a part of it.
Wouldn't want to be in place else, would
Absolutely
we?
Not. This is the place to be.
That's what the West is saying anyway.
That's right.
We're
going
to go ahead and take a two-minute break.
When
we go ahead and take a two-minute break, when we come back, we'll have Taylor Biddle, Taylor Stubbs, and Bill Osborne. They'll have all the stats for you. You're listening to Lowndes High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country.
And welcome back inside the Commercial Banking Company press box. This is the Valdosta Insurance Benefit Advisors Halftime Show. As we're going to talk about the halftime stats brought to you by Page Heating and Air. Let's go to Taylor Biddle.
Thank you, Bill. Halftime stats this far. First down through halftime, Roswell has 2. Your Lowndes High Vikings have 9. Lowndes is 29 attempts for 114 yards rushing. Roswell is 6 attempts for minus 3 yards rushing. Passing thus far, Vikings are 5 of 11. Passing for 45 yards. They have no interceptions. The Hornets are 6 of 16 for 11 yards passing. They have thrown one interception. Total plays tonight, Vikings are in 40 plays for 159 total yards. Roswell has run 22 plays for 8 yards. Roswell has fumbled once and lost it. Your Vikings have not fumbled. Penalties tonight. Excuse me, Lowndes is penalized 8 times for 60 yards. Roswell is penalized 6 times for 46 yards. Some leading individual stats so far. Rushing tonight, Tyson Harris has 7 carries for 44 yards. Copeland has 8 carries for 44 yards. Austin Dixon has 1 carry for 15 yards. Passing breakdown tonight, Austin is 4 of 9 for 44. Long of 30. Patterson is 2 of 3 for 11 yards. Long of 10. Receiving yards tonight, Xavier Jenkins has the big interception for the Vikings tonight. 1 reception for 30 yards. Bell has 1 reception for 1 yard. Desmond Copeland has 1 reception for 4 yards. Jacques Alexander has 2 receptions for 10 yards. Gabe Neighbors has 1 reception for 10 yards. Defensive-wise tonight, Marable has 2 tackles. Brantley has 2 tackles with 1 assist. Herschel Brookings has 1 solo with 2 assists. Kedrick Clemens has 1 solo with 1 assist. Alex Brown has a tackle. And Brian Bell has a tackle. A lot of team tackles tonight. We do give credit for the team when we can't tell individually. So I know it doesn't sound like a lot of tackles, but the team has attributed for a lot of them. Box score tonight so far. Lowndes scored all their points in the first quarter. No points tonight for Roswell. That is your Page Hitting and Air halftime stat report. Let's go to Taylor Stubbs for some updated scores around the area.
All right, just some updated scores around the south. Ware County is walking all over Brooks County, 31-0. Clinch leads Calhoun, 29-0. And Tifton leads Henry by a margin of 30 by a score of 38-8. And Bellwood leads Memorial Day, 37-7. Also, tomorrow, some more region games that we have will be in the Corky Cow Classic, which will be Mill Creek versus Colquitt, and Brookwood will play Valdosta.
Who's Camden got?
Camden plays tomorrow as well. They play Lincoln out of Tallahassee tomorrow.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, Taylor. Also, for the baseball fans out there, we have a score as it goes late in the season. Atlanta's trying to get that wild card secured. They're leading the Reds 1-0 right now. But because of baseball superstitions, I can't say what's going on in the seventh inning right now.
I got you. We're okay with it. I got you.
That's all right. Again, if you're just tuning in, Vikings are leading 14-0 at halftime. Pretty good defensive ball game by our by our Vikings. Roswell Hornets not really been able to move the ball offensively on us.
Yeah, really. The only 2 first downs, and that's speaks volumes for what this defense is doing. Offensively, we just have these moments of glory. And then moments of, my gosh, what are we doing? Holding, as Coach McPherson said. And you couldn't have said it any better. What are you going to do? Stop holding.
Yeah. What are you going to tell your team in there? Stop holding.
Also, for defense on Lowndes, they've held Roswell to 8 total yards.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, 22 plays for 8 total yards. They're not been able to do anything really offensively against us. But, hey, you're just that 1 or 2 big plays away from changing that.
Yeah, and they are a big play team. Now, one of the things offensively for the Vikings I'd like to see is that offensive line really start to take over and give our quarterbacks a chance to throw the ball. I had one time, Austin Dixon, I really felt like had enough time, but then he waited a little long. That clock in his head was a little late, and then he kind of reared his arm back to make the throw, and they were able to, you know, hit him from the back as he was trying to throw the ball. So maybe a little faster out of the hands of the quarterback, a little more time by the offensive line, and I think this is going to come together offensively.
Yeah, one other note, too, Nick Cart's already missed more field goals this year than he did all of last year. Although they were 40-plus yard field goals, he's a guy I think is going to be a major weapon to us.
And the air is real heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, when you've got this kind of humidity and this kind of heat, you know, a 45-yarder is long.
and you're trying to get some height into the ball as well, and it's just this air is so heavy, it'll just drive the ball down. So we've kind of put him at a disadvantage. The main thing is for Nick not to let this kind of get to him, and you know, you almost like that cornerback, you've got to have no memory.
That's
you
right.
Know, if you get burned on a play, you got to come back and play it the next time. Same thing. Now, we're going to have to kick off to start this second half.
That's right. Really, the first time he's been out there tonight on the season, he's got a 42-yarder.
Yeah.
That's not your chip shot that you used to making during practice. So, not worried in that area. We're doing a good job punting the ball tonight, too. Let me see what our punting average is.
It's going to be somewhere around 38, maybe. 36.
36 yards. We had three punts for 36-yard average. So, the penalties. We got to cut down on penalties. I know not throwing any blame here, but, 13 penalties called between the two teams, and those are the only ones enforced.
Yeah, that's the enforced. I was thinking we're probably 15 to 18 penalties or flags thrown on the afternoon or the first half here so far.
14 total penalties between the two teams.
Yeah, which probably equates to about 18 flags thrown because there's been a couple of declines. But, of course, if you count that one play, there were five flags thrown on one play.
Looked like Dick Tracy's laundry day out there. There's so much yellow on the field.
Well, the second half is just about to get underway. The clock reads zero, and we're going to put the voice of the Vikings, Wes James, back on a headset here. And we're going to give you all the play-by-play action with the voice of the Vikings, as our Lowndes High Vikings will kick off, as Roswell had won the toss to start the game and deferred, so they'll get the ball to start here in the second half. So for all your play-by-play action, it's Wes James.
And, Bill, you know what a wise man once told me.
Go ahead.
The most important possession of any ball game is your opponent's first possession of the third quarter, your first possession of the third quarter, and the least most important thing in life is the score at halftime.
Here's the kick.
High, high kick. Taken at the 7, up to the 10, the 15, the 20. Hits and goes down hard about the 22. And that's where Roswell will start the third quarter, trailing the Vikings 14-0.
Looked like Brian Bell and Luther Washington, number 8, in on the tackle for the Vikings. That is who was in on that tackle.
It'll be interesting to see what kind of defensive adjustments our Vikings made, because really didn't need to make any.
Yeah, the only 8 yards of total offense for Roswell in the first half.
Now, Roswell comes up. Let's see what they're going to do, what Coach Ford has dialed up. He's got two receivers far side, single receiver near side, man in motion. And they give it to the end around. That's number 6. He's sat to the corner, turns upfield, and we run him out of bounds at the 30, will they say the 38-yard line.
Picked up more yards in that run than they've had the whole first half.
That was Jackson. As he got around the corner.
Yeah, Kendrick Jackson comes around the end in a sweep, and that is a 15-yard run.
Ball on the near hash mark. Roswell going from left, right to left on your radio dial. Pass across the middle. Catch made by the big tight end. Nope, incomplete. That was number 87, Justin Ellis, and he got drilled by Brantley just as he made the catch across the middle. Stop the clock with 11:42 to go here in the third period. Vikings leading 14-0. Ball on the near hash mark. It'll be 2nd and 10 at the Roswell 38-yard line. Whitaker sends two receivers near side, single receiver far side, puts Evans just to his right. Gives it to Evans. Evans into the hole, gets hit, runs, oh, right into big number 12, Ryan Hobbs. I believe that was Hobbs.
No, that was Brian Bell in there on the tackle, and then Neely, number 91 from the defensive end spot, comes in and wraps it up.
They hit him at the line of scrimmage, so now it will be 3rd and 10. Clock continues to run as we head toward the 11-minute mark. Now he sends two to the far side, single receiver near side, moves the tight end. Nope, puts him right down in his regular spot. On the home side, we're in a four-man front. Drops straight back after the snap. Pump fakes, keeps the ball, starts to run. Cross the 40, the 50, and we hit him and drive him out of bounds. About the 45, 46. Bill, he will be short of the first down by about 2 yards there. Be 4th and 2. Whitaker goes to the sidelines. And they're going to punt.
Yeah, the punt team comes on the field. number 40, their punter, that's Sam Van Eede.
Van Eede in the punt. We send Tyson Harris back deep along with Alex Brown. Brown to the far side, Harris to the near side.
Van Eede has punted well, not giving our guys a chance for on a return yet.
He really hasn't.
Only about a 31-yard punt average, though.
Oh, he got the ball away. I thought we was going to block it. It hit, bounces back. We're just going to get out of the way. We're going to roll dead about the 24. But I'm going to tell you what, you look at number 28, Carlos Lee, he was all over that. How he didn't block it, Bill, I don't know.
Well, you know, I'll go back. We were talking about Van Eede and his punting ability. It's not a long average, 31 yards, but he puts it where people can't get to it. It reminds me a lot of Hayden Martin a few years ago back in 07, 08. Just a kind of situation where he was not a great punter, but he let the ball roll. He put it where people couldn't get to it, and he did a great job. It's going to be first down and 10 for the Vikings now. With 10:44 left, we still lead 14 to nothing.
And we've got Xavier Patterson in at quarterback. He slides under center. We're in the wing tee. They're in a five-man front. Give it to Copeland around the left side. He's got the corner. Turns that field at the 30 to 35. The 40 gets a block out on the sideline. That was Tyson Harris with the block out there, I believe. No, Xavier Jenkins. And, Bill, he was off to the races down the sidelines.
That was an incredible block by number 6, Jenkins. Xavier Jenkins just sealed the outside, and Copeland was able to just cut down the sideline for a great gain. That was a 26-yard gain.
Take us down into their territory. 10:35 to go here in the third. Vikings first and 10 at the Roswell 49-yard line. Again, we're in the wing tee. Patterson under quarterback. And this time he gives it to
Brantley.
Is it Brantley? Brantley. And Brantley taps his helmet. He's coming out. And number 20.
That's Louis Regal.
Louis Regal. Thank you, Bill. Regal comes in. And Brantley picked up 2 yards, so it'll be second and 8. The ball down at the 47. Almost in the middle of the field. Vikings going from left to right on your radio dial. Patterson under center. Single receiver to the far side. Again, gives it to Copeland. Copeland around the corner, tries to turn, and he makes something of it, but he'll get down to about the 46.
Copeland is that outside runner. If he gets the corner on you, he's going to put some distance between you and him.
And hats off to the Hornets for sealing that corner over there, only allowing him a yard. It's going to be 3rd and 6. We've got to get down about the 39, and the ball is at the 45. 10 minutes to go here in the third quarter. Clock stopped when he ran out of bounds. We bring Jordan to the near side. He's in man coverage. Again, Patterson under center. Looks at that five-man front. Rolls right. Look at, oh, got guards out in front of him. Touch it. Starts to throw down. Field off the hand fingertips of Tyson Harris. Harris had the first down. Now a flag comes from the far sidelines.
I think it was an illegal forward pass. He may have been over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he may have been.
I mean, he was on a dead run. I had already relegated to the fact that I was going to tell you he was going to run the ball. And let's see what the play is, or what the call is here.
That's actually the umpire's call, but he's got some help from the side judge right over in front of the Roswell bench. It is.
Illegal man downfield. So,
yep.
Again, already the line had released like a run and had gone down the field. So that what that generally means is one of your offensive linemen has gone too far down the field.
And since it was an incomplete pass, you just go ahead and decline the penalty, and Belcher will come in to punt. Roswell sends number 3, Shakir Jackson. He and Kendrick are brothers. Waiting on Belcher's punt. High, high snap over his head. Gets it away. Nice, nice booming punt. And the receiver signals fair catch. Picks it up. Makes the catch just inside the 15. Sits down on the ground. Jumps up, lays the ball down. Says, you ain't hitting me. I'm leaving.
Well, I tell you again, another snap that really, it's one of those things. The long snapper is one of the offensive linemen, and he's really out there. You wonder about the fatigue after a while. Sometimes having that designated long snapper really makes a difference.
9:45 to go here in the third quarter. Both teams just trading punts on that first possession. 14-0, Vikings lead. They give it on an end around to number 6. He tries to turn the corner. We hit him at the line of scrimmage, but he'll drive forward and pick up about 4 yards from the 15 up to about the 19-yard line. That's Jackson, the junior, on the carry.
Yeah, Brian Bell, number 32, met him with a vengeance and pushed him into the ground right there for a limited gain. That'll bring it. I'm sorry, yep. Go ahead.
Second and six from the 19-yard line. Two receivers far side. Whitaker puts a man in motion, gives it to Evans right up the middle. Evans gets across the 20 up to about the 21, giving 2 yards. So Bill should be third and about four, and a long four at that one whenever we come back.
Defensive line is standing these guys up here, giving the linebackers, Brantley and Bell, a chance to get in there.
Again, Whitaker now will send two receivers near side, single receiver far side. He's got Evans to his right in the shotgun. Drops straight back, looks, goes out in the flats, catch made, and Bill, it's going to be enough for a first down. Just enough for a first down from where the official marked the ball. And if it is, that's going to be a Napa first down. When you think Napa, when you think auto parts, think Napa first. But there is a flag on the play.
Of course there is. Let's see what that call is. Against Roswell.
So that negates the first down.
A mark off will mark them back. It'll be third down still and about nine, it looks like.
All the way back to the 16-yard line. Ball on the near hash mark. Referee signals ready for play. 8:38 to go here in the third. Vikings leading 14 to nothing.
Those 14 points came in the first quarter, and it's been quiet since then.
It sure has. Twins left, twins right. Evans to the right. Now motion, so you'll have trips. Whitaker throws downfield, and oh, he had a man on that, like I said, that skinny post. That was number 15, and that was Hunter Coleman. Bill on that skinny post as he hit right down there and just flat overthrew it.
Well, Coleman had to slow up. Our defenders and the safeties, the corners and the safeties had pinched in, and they had kept him from getting on that open run. I watched some film of him. If he gets in an open run, he's like a gazelle. And his quarterback, that's a normal throw for him. He would have hit him if the safeties had not been crashing in on that.
And coming in to punt right now is Van Eady. Tyson Harris and Alex Brown back deep, standing about the 45. Van Eady inside the five. There's a snap. Gets it away. Pooch kick headed toward the sideline. Everybody get out of the way.
Coach McPherson's pointing down inside the 30 where it went out of bounds. They're going to march it up to about the 35, 6, 7, 8, almost to the 40, about 37 or 38-yard line. So
yep.
A very short punt.
And what have we got?
We're still waiting on the official to mark it down, and we'll tell you how far that punt was.
Yeah, he marks it down at the 39-yard line.
So 23 yards on the punt.
Vikings will take over first and 10 on the 23. I mean on the 39. 8:08 to go here in the third period, leading 14 to nothing. Austin Dixon in at quarterback. You've got Tyson Harris at fullback. Jordan at one wide receiver. Two receivers to the far side. Neighbors a tight end in the backfield as a blocking back. Roswell in a five-man front. They've taken a linebacker and walked him up on the line to make it a five-man front, and he's showing a hard blitz from the near side. Of course, the official standing over the ball. Don't forget the Lounge High Randy McPherson coaches show.
We'll get that in a moment.
There's a snap. Quick throw across the middle to Jordan. Jordan makes the catch. The big 6'5 Jenkins. And the ball comes out, and it turns over to Roswell.
So that's Jenkins it. Makes the catch, but then he loses the handle.
And they recover it out at the 37-yard line.
Guys, Jenkins was fighting for yardage there. He got away from the first defender slightly, but the second guy hit him, and they just stripped it from him, just flat out took it from him. Roswell's ball now heading the other way.
Marty, thank you for that equipment, parts, supply, sideline update. The Lounge High Randy McPherson coaches show. live on 99.5 at 6:45. Whitaker in the shotgun. Gives it number 5 on the end of route. He turns the corner upfield, runs over one man, two. Hits one of his guys in the back as he gets from the 37 out to the 45. Give him a 7-yard run as number 5, Slade, on the end around, took the handoff from Whitaker.
They're starting to pick some yards up on that sweep now on first down.
It'll be second and a long 3, short 4. Whitaker again in the shotgun. We're in a 5-man front. They're running back just to his left. Play action. And throws out in the flats, incomplete pass intended for number 81. That's Jaden Coma. 7:18 to go here in the third quarter. Vikings leading 14-0. Be third and 4 now. It has become somewhat of a defensive battle, except for the mistakes that we've made, which has helped Norcross a little bit. See what Whitaker does here. Looks across. And pass intended for number 11, Bill. I didn't see. That was Miles Bluen, but I did not see who hit him.
Yeah, that was number 21, Alex Brown. He was right there. Could have made the interception, but it was a bang-bang right there at the point of contact. And that'll be a hold for our Lowndes High Vikings as Roswell looks like they're going to come out to punt.
One of the players, that was number 15, you could see him, Hunter Coleman. You could see him over there begging Coach, let's go for it, go for it, Coach, go for it. And Coach says no as he sends Van Eady into punt. And we've got Brown and Harris back about our 15. 7:13 to go here in the third period. Ball on the ground. Van Eady picks it up. Gets it away. Ball hits. Bounces inside the 25 down to about the 23-yard line.
Wes, we're going to have a holding against Roswell here. The last punt, Carlos Lee almost blocked it. This time, they took his jersey off of him.
And I'm looking for the – I don't even see the flag.
Down on the arrow of the 40 on the far side.
There it is.
Yeah, we're all looking. Barely can see it. It was right in a white spot on the 40 on the far side.
It was a good call. I was actually watching Carlos to see if he could get it this time. And they yanked his jersey off his shoulder pad. And the official was right on top of it, got the call. So they'll back him up 10 yards, make him punt again.
I would love to see a punt returned here, or at least a possibility of one. But again, the punter, Van Eady, not really putting it where anybody can get to it, but he's getting good rolls, and it's helping his average.
Sure is. Now we're only going to send Tyson Harris back deep. Harris, a sophomore. 5'9", 170-pounder. That young man will, before he leaves Lowndes High School, will have made us some spectacular plays, Bill. Van Eady, ball again on the ground. Picks it up. We come after it.
We
get blocked. We block it that time. We catch it on the fly into the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings.
That was Brian Bell on the block. Man, he got in there. Look at him right there on the field. He is fired up. Brian Bell gets in there on a jailbreak rush. There were 3 players got in, but it was Brian Bell's hand that made the tip. I don't know who recovered in the end zone.
That was Carlos Lee caught it on the fly. Bell blocked it. Carlos caught it. Touchdown, Carlos Lee.
Great job. Carlos Lee makes the touchdown, and that's another 6 for the Vikings.
Bill, you said you wanted to see a punt return for
I'll
a
take
touchdown.
I'll take a block.
Nick Hart on to attempt the extra point. Rigged in the snap, belted a hole. There's a snap, ball's down, kicks up. It's good with 6:55 to go here in the third. The Vikings lead it 21-0. We'll take a 60-second break. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Lowndes High Football, 99.5 kicks.
Come after the kickoff.
Back at the Commercial Banking Company Press Box. Vikings lead it 21-0 here with 6:55 to go in the third quarter. Nick Hart set to kick off. 2 receivers back deep for Roswell. Block punt by Brian Bell. Carlos Lee took it on the fly into the end zone. defense has played lights out all night long. Continue to do so here midway through the third. Here is Hart as he approaches the ball. High end over end kick. Roswell takes it at the 2. Starts upfield at the 10. Goes to the far sideline across the 15, the 20, and gets knocked down about the 23-yard line. In on the tackle is Jalen Maribel. Let's go to Taylor Biddle.
Yeah, that last drive summary is pretty easy. It's a block punt by number 32, Brian Bell. A 12-yard return by Carlos Lee for the touchdown. Vikings lead 21-0 with 6 minutes and 47 seconds left to go in the third quarter.
Thank you there, Taylor Biddle. Ball on the far hash mark. It'll be Roswell going from right to left on your radio dial. And that was the Page Heating and Air drive report. Roswell brings two receivers near side, single receiver far side. Whitaker now going to run into motion. They give it to the man in around. That's number 6. Cuts. There's going to be a hold out on the corner as he gets across the line of scrimmage. Picks up about 3 yards on it.
Yeah, Slade on the hold out there on the corner. Pretty obvious.
And it was Jackson on the carry, the junior, and there is a penalty. And we've got an injury. Let's take a 30-second break. We'll be right back after this.
And welcome back inside the Commercial Banking Company press box high above Martin Stadium. We're going to go down to the field now and get an equipment parts supply update with our sideline reporter, Marty Rogers.
Thanks, Bill. A couple injury updates. Ahmad Sneed, who went down in the first half with a leg injury, he is in street clothes with a brace on his knee, so he will be out indefinitely. Also, Brandon Buford, starting left guard, went out earlier, missed a series or so. I saw him over on the sidelines with an inhaler, and he's got his helmet back on. Looks like he's ready to go again if we offense gets back on the field. And right now, Luther Washington is checked in at linebacker for Brian Bell. He's just on the sidelines. He's sitting over on the bench getting a cold towel on his head. Looks like he's just trying to cool down and stay hydrated.
We can understand that. 6:38 to go here in the third period. Vikings leading 21-0 over the Roswell Hornets. Roswell will be 1st and 20. The ball back at the 13-yard line. Whitaker in the shotgun. Two receivers far side, two near side. Play action pass. Got a man way out in the flats and just overthrows him. Pass intended for Hunter Coleman.
Yeah, and again, a nice, it's a timing pattern for Roswell. I've seen some film on those two doing that same play, and they usually make good connection, but I don't know, our defensive line is making him hurry up just a little bit more than maybe the quarterback wants to.
Maribel comes off limping as Tyson Harris comes in at one of the safety positions. Whitaker moves Evans to his left, going from right to left on your radio dial on the near hash mark. High snap, pulls it down, again throws out in the flats, and he just throws everybody, including Alex Brown, who's the only man that had a chance to catch that football. That'll stop the clock now with 6:19 to go in the third, and Bill, it's going to be third down and 19.
Yeah, Whitaker likes the long ball. He has got a quick release out of that, out of his hand. Gets the ball deep down the field and just is overthrowing his wide receivers. As Whitaker again hustles to the sideline, gets the play, he's back in the huddle.
I want to remind everybody the Lions High Randy McPherson Coaches Show, 6:45 every Tuesday right here on 99.5. Whitaker slides under center. High snap, again steps up in the pocket, gets hit, and I believe that was Nate Brantley that took it.
Nope.
Was it Nate Brantley?
Nope. Corvion White, number 30. With the first sack, that's really the first sack of the game for our Vikings.
All the way back to the 5-yard line, Bill, and they'll be punting, and that will put Van Eede in the end zone to punt the ball.
Looks like we're going to send just Tyson Harris back deep.
And I think we may be going after this one, buddy.
We've been close on a couple and got the last one, so let's see. Now we back up.
Bring Alex Brown back. Van Eede standing in the back of the end zone. You're right. We only have 10 men on the field. Ball's on the ground. Drops it. And he kicks it out of the back of the end zone for a safety. Smart move by Van Eede.
So a safety, and the Vikings go up 2 more points. And as we said, we did that with 10 defenders on the field. So again, the pressure, the punter felt it,
and just could not get the handle on the ball, and smartly kicked it out of the back of the end zone for the safety.
Of course, it didn't help matters much that the snap was low like that, and
yeah,
he had to struggle with it on the ground. Now they'll have an opportunity to kick it from the tee or to punt it from the 20-yard line. Vikings now up 23-0. And Bill, most of the crowd's still here.
Yep.
As you look like you're in a daze, buddy.
Well, I'm looking at the stats on our computer screen. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of running through that and looking at some of the how the score has gone so far here this quarter. 9 points for the Vikings, and we lead 23-0. I thought we would have a good outing tonight against Roswell. If we can continue this on, 5:27 left in the third quarter. I know the defense is thinking it now as a shutout.
Mm-hmm.
That's your ultimate goal, that's for sure.
Jock Alexander going back deep for the Vikings along with Tyson Harris, Ryan Hobbs.
Yeah, no, now they shift. It will be Alex Brown and Tyson Harris deep. The up is Jock Alexander along with Ryan Hobbs. And they look like trying to determine, are they going to punt it? It does look like Van Edie out there, which is generally your punter for the Roswell Hornets that we've seen tonight.
And that's there will punt it. And he's standing on the far hash mark. Waiting on the signal from the official.
They only have 10. Yep, there's a penalty thrown from the side judge. It looks like Roswell only has 10 on the field.
Yep, you're right. They only have 10. So, I'm not sure what they're going to call. Now they're running the 11th man on the field. And they're backing him up to the 15.
Okay.
I think maybe, Bill, what they're doing is they're saying that he stepped over the 20 before he punted the ball.
Okay.
So that was offsides. So I back him up to the 15. 5:27 to go, third quarter. Vikings leading 23-0 against the visiting Roswell Hornets. There's a kick. Hobbs takes it at the 47 across the 50. Comes near side. He's at the 45. The 40 cuts up, runs right into a whole host of Hornets as he crosses the 35 down to about the 34. And Ryan Hobbs said, I get a chance to carry that mail, I'm going with it. And he does. Vikings will take over first and 10. They're going to mark it down at the 33-yard line of Roswell. Ball to be on the near hash mark. Vikings going from left to right on your radio dial as Xavier Patterson, the other junior quarterback, comes on the field. Tyson Harris to his left. Two receivers far side, single receiver near side. Patterson in the shotgun. Takes a snap, drops back, looks, throws downfield to Jenkins. Oh, Jenkins all over his fingers and drops it at the 7.
There's your 6'4", getting up. Got a hand on it. Looked like he was going to be able to just one-hand it back down into him. And unfortunately, it gets away from him in an incomplete pass. But we've not had that 6'4 receiver, I think, in my 10 years of being here.
I don't remember one either. Maybe, if anything.
Not that's a true wide receiver.
Yeah, because the only other receiver, remember that tall, would have been Josh Harvey.
Yeah.
Or maybe C.J. Lofton years ago. And we give the ball to the up back.
Copeland.
That's Copeland. Copeland by one man, two, still on his feet. Picked off to the corner, to the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Vikings.
Jez Copeland, again, on the outside. When he gets open, he has such great open field vision. He gets downfield into the end zone, and another 6 for the Vikings.
Bill, I picked up where I left off last year. Desmond Copeland, my tradition flooring impact player of the game, has truly had an impact on this game. What a great run by number 33, Desmond Copeland.
Vikings go up 29-0 with 5:03 to go here in the third period. Nick Hart on to attempt the extra point. Belcher to hold. Rigdon to snap. Ball's down. Kicks up. It's good. 5:03 to go here in the third. Vikings lead 30-0. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Commercial Banking Company Press Box. Vikings leading 30-0. 5:03 to go here in the third. Nick Hart set to kick off. And we've got number 6, Jackson, back deep. Along with, looks like, number 5, Slade on the far side. There's the kick. High end over end kick. Slade will take it at the 4. He's up to the 5, the 10, the 15. Comes near side, gets hit. Spins away from one man to 15, the 20. Starts to step it out. He's across the 25, the 30. We hit him and run him out of bounds. About the 33-yard line.
That was Nick Hart, number 87, the kicker, running him out of bounds, Wes.
Took him at the 4, and he took it out to the 33 for a 29-yard return, Bill, and that was all because he did some high stepping when he got to the corner as he cut back toward the press box. Let's go to Taylor Biddle.
Yeah, that last drive for the Vikings only ran 2 plays, 33 yards, resulted in a 33-yard touchdown run by Des Copeland. Vikings lead 30-0 with 4 minutes and 52 seconds left to go in the third quarter.
Thank you for that Page Heating and Air Drive Report. Whitaker gives the ball to Evans. Evans around the right side trying to find someplace to go. Gets hit by one man. Knocked down again, and that is Marable in on the tackle behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Jalen Marable has come on and making some great tackles here in this ball game. I don't know what it is about maybe a little better study this year, but I've got a good handle right now on most of our numbers, so we're ahead of the game right now, Wes.
A little bit. Whitaker with Evans to his left. Drops back, looks out in the flats, looks, throws across the middle. Catch made by number 6, Jackson. He went into the teeth of our Viking defense and made the catch, held onto the ball out to the 40-yard line. So
right, we got a Viking player down. It looks like Marable. Marable has been battling some cramps. Let's get down to the sideline and see if Marty can give us an update on that.
You're exactly right, Bill. He is battling cramps. I've noticed him stretching some on the sidelines. And we talked about the heat before the game, and now the heat's actually showing up a little bit. Marable's out there stretching both his calves, it looks like. Coaches have been preaching hydration all game, and I know they've been working on it all week, but it's starting to catch up with us here late in the third quarter.
Thanks, Marty, for that equipment parts supply sideline update. He's still down there on the field. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a 30-second break. We come back. Vikings are leading 30-0 here in the third quarter. We'll be right back after this 30-second break.
And welcome back to the Commercial Banking Company Press Box high above Martin Stadium. And where our Vikings lead Roswell 30-0.
Somebody else is playing Roswell tonight, too, though.
It's already played. It's already done. Our Vikettes, the girls softball team, went up to Roswell to play some softball up there, Bill, and came away with a 4-2 victory.
I tell you, the girls softball team, well coached. You've got a lot of excitement about what's going on with Lowndes High softball right now. This is an incredible team of girls, and they're going to even get better. I've been watching some of the younger girls as they're coming up. There's some incredible softball players that we're going to see come through Lowndes over the next 4 to 5 years.
It is going to be 3rd and 3. The ball at the 40-yard line. On the far hash mark, going from right to left is Roswell. The pass intended out on a slant pattern to Hunter Coleman, knocked away, be incomplete.
Yeah.
And now what will Roswell do? You're down 30-0. You're inside 4 minutes to go in the third period. Bill, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, Carlos Lee was right there to make the pass breakup. He was a bang-bang play. It was going to be right there. If he had made it, Carlos Lee would have just lit him up. But it's 4th down, and I think you got to go for it 30-0, and that's what they're going to do.
They are. 2 receivers far side, single receiver near side. Whitaker with Evans to his left. Puts a man in motion towards us. That's Jackson. Now they stop.
They're trying to get us to jump.
And we're not. Defensive ends are standing up. Whitaker again, standing at the 31. 2, 1, There's a snap. Nope, they did not get the ball off. There's a penalty.
Delay a game. They were trying to get, Roswell was trying to get the Vikings to jump off. I tell you, I really do like the play clocks on the field. And most every team in 6A now has play clocks on their field. And I think it's kind of transitioning all the way through all of the classifications. But I just think it really helps the game.
Bill now is fourth and eight, and they're still going for it. Ball now back at the 35-yard line. Whitaker. Two receivers far side, single receiver near side, drops back, looks, throws across the middle, the ball tipped, and I believe, Bill, is that number 32?
That's Brian Bell.
I believe he got his big paw on it and tipped it away as a receiver. Might have had a step on our corner, but either way, it is now first down. Vikings going the other way with 3:53 to go here in the third period, leading 30-0.
Yes, Wes, as the offense is taking the field, Buford is coming back on. But Cole Rigdon is now out. Actually, he just came out of the locker room. He's got his shoulder pads off. I was told it was just the heat. He got a little sick, but he's going to be okay. It's just, but he's done for the night.
Marty, thank you for that equipment parts supply sideline update. Vikings take over first and 10 as Austin Dixon comes on the field. Ball on the far hash mark. Vikings going left to right on your radio dial. Ball just inside the 35-yard line. Roswell in a six-man front. Now a seven as we're in the wing tee. Dixon with a man in motion. Gives it on the counter to number 20. And Alex Brown up the middle. He goes, runs over the umpire. It would have been six, but he ran flat over the umpire. I mean, he cleaned it. And as an umpire, I know how that man feels because you just couldn't get out of the way. Brown was just too quick. Just run right over you.
Yeah, what a run by Alex Brown. And as the old saying says, those officials are part of the field. So there's no interference with that, but he just got trucked. I mean, he got rolled over. Coach Piplo, the trainer for the Vikings, and looks like the medical staff have gone out to take a look at him. Let's take a quick 30-second break for this water break and injury timeout. Vikings lead 30-0 with 3:46 left in the third. We'll be right back after this 30-second break.
Back at the Commercial Banking Company press box, it is a Napa first dive. When you think auto parts, think Napa first, courtesy of Alex Brown. And they're still out looking at the official. As a former official who worked that umpire position, occasionally I had got run into. I don't ever remember getting knocked down. I'm sure it happened. I don't remember getting knocked down, but like I said, I'm sure it happened. But that guy, he got hit so hard, as Taylor said, his hat came off. Of course, the crowd wants them to put it up on the Jumbotron and see it again, but we're not going to do it. We're Lounge High, very classy. I'm not going to show that.
He's a little groggy as he's coming off the sidelines now. Now you've got to reserve, or does your clock operator go down with the field?
No, what they'll do now, they'll bring him.
They'll go to a five-man crew?
They'll go to a five-man crew rather than a six. Bring him to the sidelines. As a precaution.
All right, we're back to live play. 3:46 left here in the third quarter. Vikings leading 30-0. It's first and 10
from the 16-yard line. Dixon slides under center, heavy right, and now whistle. Yep. And on the counter, around to Tyson Harris by one man, two, spins, fights his way down to about the 12, 13-yard line. Bill, forgive me as I watch the guy who's moved to the umpire position, because that's a position that it's hard to work, but the guy has moved, he's moved to it, and you can kind of see, I'm not real comfortable back here, because what he is, he's the side judge in a six-man crew. He's a side judge, so now they've moved him back to the middle. Counter play. That's number 11 on the carry, Bill. Looks like it is James Kamen, Boogie.
There's not many folks that we're going to give a nickname to, but Boogie's been his name since birth, probably.
Yep. That's all I've ever... I did not know his first name was James for probably 2 years. It was always Boogie.
That is Trey Jackson's younger brother.
And for folks who... 2:50 to go here in the third quarter, folks who like to keep up with Lounge High football, Trey Jackson got a red shirt this year.
Yep, you can always go to thevikingvoice.com. We try to keep up with all our former players there.
Austin Dixon slides under center, heavy right, gives the ball to Harris around the right side. Harris gets wrapped up to the ankles inside the 10, down close to the 5-yard line. It was third and about three. It's going to be awfully close. Let's see what they...
That was number 30, Marcelino Ball, for Roswell to make the tackle. Just got him around the waist and brought him down before he could pick up the first down. So you're right, fourth and very short. We lead 30-0, 2 minutes in the clock running here in the third quarter.
Dixon, double tight end, fourth and about half a yard. Rolls right, looks, pulls the ball down, takes off to the end zone. Did he make it in?
No, but he does have a Napa first down, and he is inside that Pipkins Motors red zone.
All the way down. Bill, I think they're going to mark him down at the 1-yard line.
That was a designed run all the way. He had a rollout on there.
It'll be first and goal to go at the 1-yard line. Ball on the near hash mark. Vikings going from left to right on your radio dial. A minute 51 to go here in the third quarter. Here slides under center. Quarterback keeper.
I don't know if he got in or not. Boy, that was tight. They say second down.
That's what they say, second down.
Wait, now there's a signal from the side judge. Touchdown.
Okay. Touchdown, Vikings.
He was in, guys. He's in, half his body was laying across the line. I think the official just had to come in to confirm that that was Austin laying across the line. But he was laying across. He had gotten in. Good call there. Touchdown, Dixon.
So a keeper by Austin Dixon for the touchdown.
One thing about it, both the side judges, who's their call, was taking their time, Bill.
Looks like a new kicker. We do. It's Will Solomon. Will Solomon, number 38, comes in to attempt the extra point.
Anderson, the new long snapper.
Belcher, still your holder.
There's a snap. Ball's down. Kicks up. It's good. With 1:41 to go here in the third period, it's the Vikings 37. Roswell, nothing. We'll be back after this 60-second break. Back to the Commercial Banking Company press box. New kicker in. That is number 38, Will Solomon, as he sets to kick off. A minute 41 to go here in the third period. There's the kick. End over end kick. Drives Roswell back into the end zone. First time we've seen that tonight.
Well, that's one of the things that, of course, Solomon, we'll come to that in just a moment.
Let's go to Taylor Biddle.
That last drive for the Vikings was six plays, went 35 yards, ran 2 minutes and 12 seconds off the clock, resulted in a 1-yard touchdown sneak by our quarterback, number 2, Austin Dixon. Vikings lead 37-0, 1 minute and 41 seconds left to go in the third quarter.
And thank you for that, Paige. Heating and air drive recap.
I was going to say, that's Will Solomon. If you remember Jed Solomon, who's now a kicker at Troy, that's his younger brother, and they have a leg.
Whitaker at quarterback. Twins left, twins right. Faces a five-man front. High snap. Gives it to Evans. He gets absolutely nowhere as our defense just stiffens. And the clock slowly runs down to a minute 30 to go here in the third period.
Want to remind everybody, on Tuesday night, 6:45, right here on 99.5 Kicks Country, it's the Lounge High Randy McPherson Coaches Show, as we'll have Coach McPherson and the Players of the Week in studio. 6:45, don't miss it. If you need to replay, it's on thevikingvoice.com.
Whitaker again looking, throws out in a flash, catch made by number 10, gets hit immediately at the 25. It was a 5-yard pitch and catch from Whitaker to Reggie White.
That was Herschel Bookins, number 23, there on the tackle immediately after the catch.
Inside a minute to go now. Vikings leading 37-0 here in the third period. It'll be third and five. Two receivers near side, two far side. Whitaker again looking, under pressure, rolls right, stops, slows downfield, got a man wide open, makes the catch at the 81, off to the races, and we pull him down inside the 20-yard line.
Dez Copeland makes the tackle. Otherwise, this guy's gone. That's the kind of stuff we see from Roswell.
Jaden Coma, a sophomore, has got him down all the way to the Viking 16.5-yard line, and then that is the Pipkins Motors red zone.
59 yards on that. Almost doubled their out, total offensive output.
16 seconds, 12, 10. There's a high snap. We hit him immediately, and the quarterback is going down.
I'm telling
you, that will be the end of the third quarter.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a break, 60-second break, as we go to the fourth quarter. Vikings leading 37-0. We'll be right back after this 60.
And back to at the Commercial Banking Company press box here at Martin Stadium. We go to the fourth quarter. Vikings leading 37-0. It will be first and 15 for Roswell. They throw the ball toward the end zone. High pass and touchdown Hornets.
That's the kind of passing that I've seen from Roswell in a lot of film, and they just got separation, gave Whitaker a chance and time, and he's able to make those throws.
And if that happens like it's supposed to, we're in a running clock situation now.
It should be. We were up 37, even with this score in the fourth quarter. It doesn't flip-flop.
Nope.
Somebody late running on for Roswell.
Waiting on the snap. Ball's down. Kicks up. And it's good. And with 11:49 to go in the ball game, it is the Vikings 37, Roswell 7. We'll take a 60-second break. We'll be back after this.
Okay, we're down to 6 minutes.
Back to the Commercial Banking Company press box. Roswell on the scoreboard, 37-7. 11:49 to go here in the ball game. There's a high end-over-end kick. And we take it, drop it into the end zone. It's going to be a touchback. We'll bring the ball back out to the 20. Let's go to Taylor Biddle.
Last drive for Roswell. Ran five plays, went 80 yards, 1 minute and 49 seconds off the clock. Resulted in a 24-yard touchdown pass to number 5, Slade. Vikings still lead Roswell Hornets 37-7 with 11 minutes and 42 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter. We are under a running clock, guys.
And thank you for that, Paige. Heating and air drive recap. Vikings take over first and 10 from our 20-yard line. Let's see what we're going to have. I'm sure we're going to see some different numbers out here, Bill.
Yeah, we are. Let's see.
Guys, just to give you an update here, Dalton Hart, the quarterback now, has changed his number. He is number 5 now.
Now, who is that? Who's
Dalton Hart, our quarterback.
Dalton Hart. Thank you.
Thank you, Marty. But our equipment parts supply update. Hart slides under center. Puts a man in motion. Gives it to the tailback around the right side. And it's number 11 as he finds his way out to the 15-yard line. Boogie Cammon. Hart gets us to play from the sidelines. Regal and Cammon in the backfield. Hart slides under center. Looks at that six-man front. Barks out the signals. Again, he gives it to Regal right up the middle. It was second and 5. Regal got about a yard, so should be about third and 4 as we get to the 10:25 mark.
Clock continues to run now.
Vikings going right to left on your radio dial.
Stay with us for the Valdosta Insurance Benefit Advisors post game. We'll give you the stats and get you set up for next week. Doubleheader.
Big doings here at the Concrete Palace next Friday night. Hart again. Oh, 2 men in motion. And we're going to get a flag on that as Hart goes down back at the 15.
Yeah, Hart was already giving up on the play. He saw the flag coming out. And defender had not given up, though.
So I'm not sure what the official's going to do here.
Illegal shift against the Vikings. That'll be a mark off. Yeah, next Friday night, our Vikings. Now, we will only air the Vikings game. But that should be on the air for kickoff around 9 p.m. But we'll probably get on the air about 8 for the Georgia Farm Bureau countdown to kickoff. But there'll be a game going on as Ware County comes to town to take on Manatee High School out of Florida.
And out of Bradenton, Florida. And I'm going to tell you what, Manatee, a powerhouse down there, buddy, in their classification.
So is Plant High School, who will play their Vikings as well. Let's take a quick 60-second break for this timeout. We'll be right back after this. Belcher.
Welcome back to the Commercial Banking Company press box. Waiting on the snap. There it is. Belcher takes it, punts the ball way downfield. Fair catch called for by Roswell at the 47-yard line. And that's where they'll take over with 8:49 to go here in the ball game.
42.
I'm sorry, 42. Thank you.
Clock running at 8:39. Of course, the running clock is a mercy rule in Georgia high school football. If you're up by 30 points at the start of the quarter.
At the start of the fourth quarter, it's mandatory. Whitaker with trips to the left. He gives it to Evans right up the middle off one side. 2-3. Evans buses way across the 50 down to our 46-yard line for a Napa first down. They've got their varsity in. We're playing our junior varsity at this point in time. Whitaker, again with twins to the far side, now brings a man in motion. Gives again to Evans, looking for a hole. Gets hit by one man, turns, spins, and he'll get absolutely, I'll give him a yard, maybe two. So it'll be second and eight at our 44-yard line, 7:45 to go here in the ball game.
Wes, I want to remind all our listeners to go to thevikingvoice.com. We'll have all our stats tonight uploaded to the system so that you can always see what your Vikings did tonight.
Quickly, Roswell to the line of scrimmage. And the shotgun. They give it to Jackson around the left side. He's looking for blockers out in front of him. He's very close to the first down. He's going to be probably about half a yard short as we tackle him on the far side right in front of the Roswell bench as he got down to about the 36, maybe the 37-yard line. Clock winds down. 7 minutes to go here in the contest.
We'll have Coach McPherson at the end of the game get his thoughts on the game as well as a player or two. Marty will be able to talk to them. Brought to you by Traditions Flooring.
Third and less than a yard. Two receivers come near side. Whitaker takes a snap, gives it to Evans right up the middle. He has the first down as he crosses the 35 down to about the 34. And that is another Napa first down. 6.5 minutes to go. That clock is running now. They set the chains at the 33-yard line. Roswell in Viking territory. Two receivers near side. Single receiver far side. Put a man in the slot. Back him up looking. Whitaker throws across the middle. In and out of the hands. Oh, I didn't get the number, Bill. Looks like number 15
again.
That is Hunter Coleman.
Yeah, but the ball just in and out. Couldn't make the catch. That'll keep the clock running, though, in the running clock. Yep. 6 minutes now, under 6 minutes left in the ball game. Vikings leading 37-7.
Second and 10. Whitaker gives it to Evans. Evans behind that offensive line gets down to the 30, so that'll give him 4 yards. It'll be third and six. Third and seven, rather, from the 30-yard line. 5.5 minutes to go in the ball game. Vikings leading 37-7. As Plant from Tampa, Florida, one of the premier teams in the nation, makes its trek up 75 to play our Vikings right here next Friday night. Whitaker again takes a snap, looks under rush those downfield. And they're going to be pass interference. And dollar to a donut, they call it on us.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it favors the wide receiver. And if you've got to turn and look back for the ball, and in that case, you're, excuse me, making contact with the receiver, you're going to get the call every time.
Bill, you're absolutely right. That was one of those situations where the ball was underthrown. And, of course, Dillon's running with the receiver. If that ball's not underthrown, Dillon's in the perfect position, perfect coverage, but it's underthrown, and the receiver tries to come back and had to go around Dillon, and, of course, Dillon was hand-checking him, and that was why they got the penalty.
Yeah, Dillon Presley, number 85.
Well, that pass interference call takes Roswell into the Pipkins Motors red zone right now. Oh, look at her. What a pass. Varsity players against our JV, but it's touchdown Roswell. Pass from Whitaker to Slade on a slant pattern as he head towards the post.
Waiting on that extra point. Again, another player running on late for Roswell.
There's a snap. Ball's down. Kicks up. It's good. With 4:52 to go in the ball game, it is the Vikings 37, Hornets 14. We'll take a 60-second break. We'll be back after this. Back to the Commercial Banking Company press box. High in over and kicked our Vikings. Drives us back to the 1. We're up to the 5, the 10. Come near side to 15, 20. Oh, looking for a hole. Just couldn't quite squirt through it, but as we get out to the 22, let's go to Taylor Biddle.
Last drive for the Hornets went 8 plays, 58 yards, ran 3 minutes and 24 seconds off the clock. Resulted in an 11-yard touchdown pass to number 5, Slade. Vikings still lead 37-14 with 4 minutes and 30 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter.
And just, well, you would think it would go to a running clock. I guess it will on the snap. That is running now.
Wes, I got one more injury update. The umpire down here, the official's got his arm in a sling, but he did give me the thumbs up. So I think he's going to be all right, but he does have his arm in a sling like he hurt his shoulder.
it was his flag-throwing shoulder, too.
Uh-oh, he's in trouble then. Hart, Brandon Hart, the quarterback for our Vikings. Snap. Gives it to the up back. That's number 11, Boogie Kamen, as Boogie fights over the right side up to about the 20, gets across the 25 up to about the 26-yard line. It'll be second and about 7 from there as we're inside. 4 minutes to go now in the ball game. Don't forget the Lions High Randy McPherson Coaches Show at 6:45 every Tuesday night, brought to you by Deloach Body Works. Hart again gives it to Kamen. Kamen around the left side, gets hit and drove to the ground as he tries to fight his way out to the 30. Going to be probably, he'll get about 2 yards as he gets out to about the 29. It'll be third and about 4 or 5 from there. Clock's running down to 3 minutes now. Roswell in a four-man front. Hart in the shotgun. Barks out signals. Nothing there. Now he steps up, audibles. Play clock's not even running. Around the left side, it's Kamen. Kamen fights hard for a first down. They say he was down at Bill. He'll have a Napa first down.
That was a very good run by James Kamen, as Boogie just kind of got around the corner, kept twisting and twisting until he got that first down.
Out to the 36-yard line. 2:15 to go here in the ball game. Hart looks to the sidelines.
Yeah, you're right. The play clock on the ends are not running at all.
Takes a snap. Play action. Keeps the ball. Gets sacked back at... Oh, there goes...
Hart was trying to throw the ball, and with the humidity, the ball kind of slipped out of his hands back into his own self, and he had just clutch it and run with it. Now, there's a flag, a little extracurricular activity. We'll see what that is.
And I'm not sure if they're going to call it on. It could be called.
It could be offset, too.
Yeah, and that one could go either way, or like I say, or offset. That's the only thing.
Wes, that's going to be on us. We were playing a little too long there after the whistle. Actually took a Roswell player down to the field as one of our linemen. Just got to stop when the whistle blows.
Marty, thank you for that Equipment Parts Supply sideline update. And they'll back it.
Back us up 15.
Yep. Set it all the way down at the 16-yard line. A minute 47 to go here in the ball game, and the official winds the clock. Now they stop it. And they're in no hurry to communicate with one another. They walk from the sideline into the middle of the field. Officials talking among themselves.
Minute 42 is just kind of sticking there. They're trying to get the down straight here. All right, now they'll wind it up here.
Yep.
Second and about 30.
Hart. Oh, we jump. That'll stop it with a minute 34 to go. Next Friday night, a doubleheader. Ware County, Manatee out of Bradenton, Florida, right here at 6 o'clock. And about 20 minutes after that ball game, somewhere around 9 o'clock, it will be our Lounge High Vikings and Plant out of Tampa. Hart for our Vikings. Takes a snap. Gives it to Cammon around the right side. Looking for a hole by one man, two. Look out. Old Boogie has a hole as he crosses the 20 out to the 25.
Clock continues.
Go ahead, Bill.
I was going to say, picks up some good yards, but never had so many to go.
Clock at the one-minute mark now. We're trying to get players off the field. Third and 5, 10, 15, 20, about 22. Hart. Again, he gives it to the running back around the right side, looking to the corner, spins nothing there. And he goes down at the 25. And that could be the very last play of the ball game, Bill. Maybe. It will be fourth down, and we don't have to snap the ball.
Yep, clock's running 16, 15 seconds. You're right, we don't have to snap it. We can just let it run out right here. Right after this, we're going to take a quick two-minute break while the team regroups, and when we come back, Coach Randy McPherson will be on the air with us in the Traditions Flooring Coaches post-game interview. That's it. Vikings win 37-14. We're going to take a two-minute break. We come back. Vikings win 37-14 right here on 99.5 Kicks Country. And we're back here inside the Commercial Banking Company press box high above Martin Stadium as we relish in a Viking victory 37-14.
And it was one of those nights where...
Go ahead, keep going.
One of those nights where our Vikings came out and the first couple of possessions, you kind of say, okay, we've got to get a little rust knocked off of us, and they hadn't played in 2 weeks. But all in all, a victory is a victory because you've got to put this one behind you and think about you've got Plant coming up next week.
Yeah, we do, and you're going to play at a different time, and that kind of throws your day off too. So, you got a couple little things you got to work on. I think Lowndes has still got some areas that they want to work on, that they want to get fixed. There's still a few mistakes. I'm sure Coach McPherson will tell you that we're not even close to being at the level we want to be at yet.
No, we don't. I want to remind everybody that Lowndes High Randy McPherson Coaches Show brought to you by Deluxe Body Works every Tuesday at 6:45 live on 99.5 Kicks Country.
Yep, it's a great time. Coach McPherson gives him an opportunity to talk, and really he does. He loves these kids. He loves the Viking Nation, and he will be out there. And really, he's opened up as the more he's been here now. This is his 13th year, and has had great success here at Lowndes. And he's excited about this team, and I am too. After I've met so many of them, this is a special team. I think I'm not crowning them anything right now, but they've got a lot of continuity. This is a team that reminds me of 07. They play together so well. I think Marty's got Coach McPherson down there for the Traditions Flooring post-game interview. Let's go down to the field with Marty Rogers and see if he can get Coach McPherson.
Well, Coach, great way to start off the season there. 37-14, you get the win. What are the positives you take away from tonight?
Our first defensive unit played really well. They were basically able to get the shutout, you know, until we started subbing in. And, you know, proud of how hard the kids played. We played too sloppy on offense, you know. We kept plugging, though, you know, we kept plugging. Penalties hurt us early, but, you know, can't take anything away from Roswell's defense. They had some tough – they were tough, you know. They certainly going to win some games this year.
Coach, of course, I heard you just tell your team you love them and you're proud of them, but what's a good way to start the season? I know that first half you wanted some more points. The second half the kids came out, responded, and played well.
They did, you know. like I said, you know, Roswell's defense was tough. They got that kid going to Alabama in the middle. I mean, he's a beast.
Coach, offensively you were able to do some stuff. It seems like when you got on the edge that Desmond Copeland had two touchdowns. He was really able to get some yards on the outside. At times looked like we had some plays there throwing the ball that really worked. Of course, the holding penalty shot us. What did you tell your team at halftime to get them to come out and cut the penalties back?
I told them we should have at least two more scores and that we'll get it going in the second half. Quit making penalties and just keep playing.
Well, I heard you tell your team to enjoy this win, but get ready to go to work Monday. Coach, good luck next week. We'll see you next Friday night.
All right. Thank you, Marty, for that Traditions Flooring post-game interview. He's got one of the players, it looks like. Let's get back down to the field and go to Marty again.
Thanks, Bill, and I am. I'm here now with senior Nate Brantley. Nate's obviously one of the leaders on this team. He was a captain tonight. Nate, good job tonight. How's it feel to get the first win under your belt?
Great. It feels great. A lot of pressure relieved. I was very nervous coming into the game, but it just felt great to come out here and just play with my brothers. It just felt great.
Nate, that's something you mentioned, your brothers. That's something I wanted to ask you. This team feels – it seems like they're very close, a very tight-knit group. How important is that, and what kind of role does that play, you know, as a team to be close together and to be a tight-knit group?
That plays a huge role. Just due to the fact that when adversity strikes, you know, we don't start pointing fingers at it. We fight through it. During the region, we're going to be in some dogfights, and the close-knit that we have together is going to help us in the long run.
Absolutely. Well, tonight you had three unassisted tackles, two assisted, five total. Even had a pass deflection. But I know you wanted that interception. I know you were seeing six, weren't you?
I had it. Yeah, just, you know, a pretty solid game. But overall, I'm just glad that we got the win. Stats don't matter.
Hey, good answer there, Nate. Good luck this year. We'll see you next week, next Friday night, when Brent Plant comes to town.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Nate.
All right, Marty, thank you for that Traditions Flooring post-game report from the field with Nate Brantley. We're going to take a two-minute break. We come back, we're going to wrap it up for you. Vikings win 37-14. We'll be right back after this two-minute break. All right, we're back here at the Commercial Banking Company press box high above Martin Stadium. After a win, our Vikings 37-14 over the Roswell Hornets. And let's go over to Taylor Biddle and get our final Page Heating and Air game stats for tonight's final 37-14 win for our Vikings.
Yeah, these are the Page Heating and Air in-game final stat report. First downs tonight for your Vikings, they had 14 first downs. Roswell had 8. Rushes tonight, 48 attempts for 234 yards for the Vikings, 23 attempts, 50 yards for the Hornets. Passing tonight, Lounge was 6 of 14 for 46 yards passing, no interceptions. Roswell was 10 of 30 for 109 yards passing. They did throw one interception. Total plays tonight, Vikings had 62 plays for 280 yards. Roswell had 53 plays for 159 yards. They had a 4.5 average per yard play. Roswell averaged 3 yards per play. Both teams fumbled once and lost one. Penalties tonight, Vikings were penalized 11 times for 95 yards. Roswell was penalized 11 times for 90 yards. Punt average, we punted 5 times for 35.6 yards average, and the Hornets punted 8 times for 26 yard average. There's one punt return tonight for the Vikings for 28 yards. Roswell returned 2 punts for 6 yards. Kickoff returns tonight, Lowndes returned 3 kickoffs for 69 yards. Roswell returned 4 kickoffs for 47 yards. The interception that we did have was returned 13 yards. The time of possession tonight, a little bit off here, but bear with us, 24 minutes and 49 seconds for the Vikings, where Roswell had it for 17 minutes and 7 seconds. The running clock kind of got us in the fourth quarter.
So. Yeah.
Third down conversions, Lions was 3 of 13 on third down conversions. Roswell was 2 of 15 on third down conversions. Fourth down conversions tonight, Lions was 1 of 3 on fourth down conversions. Roswell was also 1 of 3 on fourth down conversions. Lions was sacked 3 times tonight for 21-yard loss. Roswell was sacked 5 times tonight for 32-yard loss. Leading rushers tonight, first for your Vikings, Tyson Harris had 9 carries for 51 yards. James Kamen, 6 carries for 35 yards. Desmond Copeland, 11 carries for 105 yards. Alex Brown, 2 carries for 24 yards. Ahmad Sneed, before the injury, 5 carries, 14 yards. Austin Dixon did have the one carry for 15 yards. Passing tonight, Austin Dixon was 3 of 8 for 34 yards. Patterson was 3 of 6 for 12 yards. Receiving tonight, Xavier Jenkins, 2 receptions for 31 yards. Jock Alexander, 2 receptions for 10 yards. Defense tonight, your leading tacklers for the Vikings. Maribel had 5. Washington had 4. Brantley had 5. Brookings had 6. Brian Bell had 6. And box score looks like this. First quarter, Lions scored 14. Roswell scored 0. No points scored in the second quarter. Lions put 23 on the board in the third quarter. Roswell against the JV put 14 on the Vikings. Total tonight, Lions High Vikings win 37-14. That is your Page Heating and Air postgame stat report.
All right, big man.
Well, as we get ready to, well, we're 1-0. You always want to be 1-0. And you get ready for a big, I mean, a battle next Friday night whenever Plant gets here. Of course, for a football fan, it doesn't get any better. You get to see two of them, and you get to see two great games, Ware at Manatee and then Lowndes and Plant. Let's go.
I was just going to say, for fans listening, we're only going to broadcast the Vikings game. We'll be here probably during that Manatee-Ware game, and we'll have our pregame countdown to kickoff somewhere right in there while that third or fourth quarter is going on. But if you are a season ticket holder and you're coming to see the game, you can actually come for both games.
Yep.
Your ticket is good. Your seat is good for both games. So you could come and have a whole afternoon of football in the South Georgia Classic. So it's going to be an interesting night for football fans to come see Ware County, who really put it on Brooks County tonight. And, of course, they seem to be the real deal in that classification. So I'm excited to see them. Manatee, a very good football team. And, of course, our Vikings will be playing Plant High School, also a very good football team out of the Tampa area.
Sure will. Marty, your final thoughts, buddy.
Guys, I thought it was a great first game. We did have a lot of mistakes tonight, the penalties, a couple turnovers. But defense played exceptionally tonight. I thought the secondary played extremely well. Of course, I talked about Carlos Lee and Alex Brown in the pregame, but I thought that Jalen Marable played a great ball game. And Herschel Brookin, the kid we haven't talked a lot about, stepped up, the starter after the scrimmage game, of course, was dismissed from the team, and he's no longer with the program. So Herschel stepped into that starting role, and I thought played a great ball game tonight. As Randy mentioned, we had a shutout going into the fourth quarter. Didn't get as much pressure on the quarterback as I'd like to have, but they were getting the ball out quick and early. So I thought the defense played well. I think offense showed some good things. I thought offensive line played well at times. And I thought that we showed some flashes of athleticism. Desmond Copeland ran the ball hard. My tradition scoring impact player for the Viking offense had 2 touchdowns. I think he's going to have a big year, guys. I really do. I look forward to him. And Xavier Jenkins, I think, is a weapon out there on the outside. But good first ball game. Some mistakes. We'll go to the film room. We'll fix those and hopefully have a big night next Friday night as we play Plant, as y'all mentioned.
Taylor?
Yeah, I got to echo Marty's thoughts, man. What a defensive battle for the Vikings tonight. They came out and really held a team to not much offensive production. You take away that 58-yard bomb that they threw there in the fourth quarter against the JV, holds their passing down below probably 50 yards. Offensively, they weren't really able to move the ball that much against it. Questions are starting to be answered a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. I think I think we're playing pretty good defensively. You know, Norcross was a tough test for us in the secondary, and we answered the call tonight against a spread team that throws the ball around a good bit. Offensively, I thought our offensive line played pretty well. At times, they gave us a lot of protection. At times, no matter what formation we were in, it could have been a wing T. There was a few times they busted up the gut, but overall, I think they played pretty well on the offensive line. It looks like Marty's right. Copeland's the guy that's going to probably be the workhorse for us. Sneed, I heard, just got banged up a little bit. You know, maybe precautionary. Hey, we got this one game in hand. You go ahead and take a seat and get rested up for a big plant game. Sneed, Copeland, Harris, Alex Brown are going to be our workhorses on offense, I think. And the quarterback, I mean, I like what I'm seeing so far with the split in quarterback. I know sometimes that can be a, you know, that can be kind of risky and people don't like it, but Coach McPherson said on the Randy McPherson Coaches Show that he plans on running his quarterback a lot. And there were some design rollouts, and that's with both quarterbacks. Now, not just with Patterson, who you believe was a dual threat. I remember the one run that Austin had, or one of the big runs he had, he dropped back and then tucked it on the go, and then Austin had the run there where if he'd just stuck the nose out a little bit of the ball, he'd have got a tough rushing touchdown there. But overall, I was really pleased with how we played.
Well, he did get the touchdown eventually on the dive.
Yeah, on the 1 yard dive.
But
the one where he was, you know, running down the sidelines, I was trying to get him there.
Yeah, great effort by everybody, offense, defensively, special teams. But you know, we talked about that. Hart was trying field goals of 42 and 47 yards, missed both of those. But in a hot, humid night, the air's heavy. The football's a little heavier, and it was tough, but I thought his kickoffs were good. I was impressed with Will Solomon coming in to kickoff. He's got that long, low kick, but it's deep, and he gets it into the end zone. So, but Coach McPherson said the other night, the high pooch kicks from Hart get them sometimes inside the 20. So it's a trade-off, but I thought both of them played very well on the special teams. Snapper, long snapper's got to get fixed. And we saw the backup guy come in, number 88. I don't have my roster now in front of me. That is number 88. That's Dagan Anderson came in, and I thought made some good snaps after that. So we'll see where that goes the rest of this season. And I think I'm excited about a great Lowndes High football team, and I'm ready for next week, Wes.
Well, anything I would say would just be a repeat of what you and Taylor and Marty has said. So with that said, remind everybody that the Lowndes High Coaches Show at the Randy McPherson Coaches Show brought to you by Deloach Body Works at 6:45 on Tuesday night. You'll want to tune in to 99.5 Kicks Country for that. Of course, we're here at 6 o'clock next Friday night, and we'll be on the air somewhere around 8 o'clock or so for a 9 o'clock, somewhere around 9 o'clock kickoff. And they come and enjoy two great games of football. Vikings win 37-14 after leading 37-0. And on behalf of all of Lowndes High Sports, on behalf of 99.5, on behalf of the Viking Voice, Taylor Stubbs, Taylor Biddle, Marty Rogers, Chuck Lawrence, Bill Osborne, all of us, I'm Wes James. Good night. God bless you. You've been listening to Lowndes High Football on 99.5 Kicks Country. Good night, Lowndes County.